As we could look to the Lord in prayer, and our God and Father, we thank you for thy word and work and Spirit of God. Where would we be without you? So God, make it all come out all right for you, that we might have the better understanding, that we, our God, would, Spirit of God, that you would just help us now. Each man, woman, boy, or girl, teachers downstairs, the classes, nursery, church time. God, here we are. Do the work that you do. Thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. We had shared together in the, as in our study of the Gospel of John, of the Lord Jesus Christ has crossed the Jordan. He's on the other side of the Jordan, over his Jerusalem on this side, and he's crossed over the Jordan on the other side. And there's 6 months or less before he goes to the cross. 3 months. Little time right now, and then he goes to the cross. So he's crossed over there to just rest and get ready to go into Jerusalem for the last time, and then to go to the cross. Now, in the process, as he's over there on the other side, he has a message, a call for help. And that call for help came from Martha and Mary, who lived in Bethany, back across the Jordan, in the Mount of Olives, his Jerusalem, the Mount of Olives, and Bethany. And they were there, and it was a very place that he frequented and stayed, and his disciples with him. So they were very familiar, and Mary and Martha sent a message to him by messenger that Lazarus was very sick, chapter 11, verse 2. He's very sick. Very sick, very not just sick, he's very sick. In fact, he's going to die. And in the process, this is the, God is going to go, and in the, remember the, in the Gospel of John, chapter 20, 31, 32, 31. These signs, miracles, are given that you might understand the Word became flesh, the glory of God was shown in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Word becoming flesh. And God is going to show but 7 specific miracles. The glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, his magnificence, his person as God, as the only living God. And that's it. And this is the last 7th. The greatest, in addition to that, of course, is his resurrection. And that's the last and only sign he will give to the world until he comes again. And hold your finger here just a sec, just to remind you, over to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. And picking up, if I can, in verse 38, 12 and 38 of Matthew. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. And there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The only sign he's going to give is his resurrection. And that's why we're sitting here right now, to demonstrate. First day of the week, he arose from the grave. And as we meet, we don't meet on Saturday, we meet on Sunday, because that's when he arose. And here we are, everyone, believers, meeting. What are they doing? They're saying Jesus Christ. The only sign he's going to say to the world is the believers meeting together, bearing record and witness that he rose again. And the life we have is the resurrected life that he provided, having died for our sin and rose again to give us newness of life. And that's the life that we, that's the whole business, bottom, top, middle, this is it, that we might represent the Lord Jesus Christ who's risen again. And here's the Gospel of John with all the signs. And here we are exercising the greatest and last sign until he comes, his wonderful resurrected life. Now, having said that, so in the light of that, back over to John chapter 11. In John chapter 11, remember the sickness is, he's told of the sickness, and in the process, verse 4, when Jesus, I'll read verse 3, just, therefore the sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And when Jesus heard that, he said, the sickness is not, N-O-T, verse 4, unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified. And we shared that the last couple of times to remind ourselves what that's all about. God is in the business of being who he is. He delights in being who he is. He perfectly is who he is. And therefore, being perfect, the perfectness must be expressed. It must be expressed. He's perfect. And thus, the glory of God is that impression, the wealth, the worth, the weight, the wonderful brightness that says, God, we have to pay attention to you. You are God, the glory of God, the glory of your wonderful person. Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the earth showeth his handiwork. All of creation, the flowers, the bugs, the birds, the bees, show God, his creativity. And the Lord Jesus Christ shows his person. And the believing believers in his body, the church, show his life. Now, in the light of that, so that's it. And remember now, Lazarus is going to die. So they're all concerned. And thus we go, come to chapter 11, verse 5. Remember, he said, "This is for the glory of God." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Now remember, we shared together in verse 3, the Lord, he whom thou lovest, Mary, Martha, they knew that the Lord loved them, that the Lord loved them. And that's the simple word of affection, that kind of thing. That's what they used. But he did not use that word, and he makes it clear, verse 5, Jesus loved, that's a point of reference. Do you understand? He wasn't loving them with affection. He was loving them because that he is love. And he was going to go and express the highest and mostest and the bestest, God giving himself to something or someone in this case, someone for God to give himself to someone, for the someone to understand and be embraced, engulfed, caught up in the wonderful person of God. To say it simply, if you can, for God to hug them, to love them. The very best, what is the very best of all best? It is you, yourself, God. You are the best. Now, and thus he uses that, so makes everyone, disciples and all, different word, to help them. Now, verse 6. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. So here he is, he's going to stay 2 more days where he is. And when he heard, the information was given, he already knew it anyway. And here the disciples are all there. They all hear the messenger from Mary and Martha. And in the process, they hear it. And then God, having heard, everything is zero, no more talk about it, no more mention. He's sick, very sick, message given, complete, boop, all over. He waited 2 days, nothing's going on. So we're doing everything normal, disciples. We're all doing our normal stuff. It's 2 days, that's what we're doing. And the 2 days go by, and we're still there doing what we do. And in the process, God's wonderful timing is taking place, and God is going to do a wonderful thing. He's going to do a wonderful, wonderful thing. But in order to make the wonderful thing happen, it has to have the preparation for that thing to happen. So therefore, to show his glory, he waits 2 days. And remember now, we're just sitting there, we're disciples, and we aren't, all we know is Mary's, Lazarus is sick, and we assume he'll get better or something, and we're doing our stuff now. Verse 7. Then after that, Jesus saith to his disciples, let us go to Jerusalem again. Now let us go to Jerusalem again. Now after 2 days, he sat there, 2 days go by. And then he said, now, everyone get up. We're all going to Jerusalem. We're all going to Judea again, over to across the river. We're going across the river again. We just crossed it, but now we're going to go across it again. And now, what you got to keep in mind, here's the disciples, and because it will pick up their reaction. And you'll notice in chapter 10, verse 31, then the Jews, remember that with the, then the, this is before they crossed the Jordan, then the Jews took up stones again to stone him again. And then he continued his exercise of thought and word with them. And then at verse 39, again, therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of the hand. So we're going again. Where we're going? We're going back over there again where they're waiting to get you. They're waiting to get you. And you went across the Jordan so that they aren't going to bother going across. But you're going to tell us we're walking back over there. Right over, we're walking right into the lion's den. We're walking into the fire. We're walking in, and it isn't us we're worried about, Lord. It's you. They're going to kill you. Now, verse 8. The disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and thou goest thither again. So you have the little word again. Again, I just covered it enough. So we're going, and they're concerned. We're going back over again. And now, so God, you're going to have to answer them. He does. Verse 9, Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. So now, here we are, God, either in the, you're going to give them help. Do they need help? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Because they don't understand. We didn't do anything for 2 days, and we haven't known new messages at all, and now we're going back over the Jordan, that's where they're going to kill you. Again. So here are the disciples. They knowing all of this, and in the process, they understand. So John 11 and verse 8, remember now that they're going to go. They need to be encouraged to make the journey. They need to be educated in their head and in their heart about how this all works. So here, verse 9, Jesus is going to alleviate their fears, and thus he says, something very simple, clear statement, are there not 12 hours in the day? Well, absolutely, this is Jewish time, Roman time, all time. What do you know? When the sun crosses the equator in March 21, And when the sun crosses the equator on September 23, it's called vernal equinox. It means that all over the world, every day is 12 hours long, and the night is 12 hours long. Even. Two times a year, it's even. 12 hours and 12 hours. Now, so it's normal. They all knew that. Now, in the light of that, and I know you look forward to September 23, when it's all going to be 12 hours. Now, so in the process, the sunset, that's sunset to sunrise, 12 hours, the sunlight, daytime, and work. Work is done in the daytime, night. Night is darkness. And in the darkness, which men love rather than light, the day, you do it in the day. So now, chapter 11 and verse 9, are there not 12 hours in the day? If, and it may not be, it may be, if any man walk in the day, if any man walk in the day, he doesn't stumble, he doesn't trip over. He's able to see in the light, so if there's an obstacle, a rock, a problem, you can see the problem and avoid it because you're walking in the light. You're able to see. That's right. Stumbleth not. He doesn't stumble because he seeth the light of this world. And so, therefore, when you're walking in the light, you have great advantage not to stumble and to go forward and do what you have to do. So now, having said that, to strike the foot against the stone, etc., to strike against anything. Now, hold their finger here a moment and go over with me the Gospel of Luke and chapter 4. The Gospel of Luke and chapter 4. And may I go to pick up the thought in verse 9. Luke 4, 9. Verse 9. And he brought him, this is Satan now, temptation in the wilderness. And he brought him to Jerusalem, and set him on a pinnacle in the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from thence, from here. Now, remember the little conditional clause, if and it's true. If and it's true. The other one was if and it may not be true. But this one's if. Say it another way. Since you are the Son of God. And there's no question in my mind, said the devil, I know you are the Son of God. Therefore, Luke chapter 10, for it is written, He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee. Luke chapter 4, verse 11, In their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash to stumble, to hit your foot, against a stone. There's your little word, to stumble, to dash your foot against a stone. And now, so here the devil's saying, God, if you just presume on God and dive down, and you'll have no problem stumbling, no problem, and you'll be able to live and survive and do that. And the Lord, of course, said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. You should never do that. Are you going to tempt the Lord? The Lord Jesus said, absolutely not. Now, having said that little bit, back over to John chapter 11. And remember John chapter 11, verse 9, because he seeth, he's seeing the light. The Lord Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And 1 John 1:5, God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. So when you're walking with God, you're walking in the light. There's no darkness. And when you're walking in the light, you're able to see, able to understand, able to finish and do what you're doing. Now, over in chapter 11, verse 10, but, and it may not be true. Walk in the night, but if you walk in the night, in the night, he stumbleth because there is no light in him. So if you're going to go in the nighttime, then you're going to go in the dark. Remember, we read that and did that a little bit in Matthew, in Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 16, where they went in the dark, and they were going, the nation was going in the dark, and they didn't care. And God said, it's going to get darker and darker and darker and darker, and you're going to go, there's no light. There's no light. You're going into the dark. You aren't trying to get out of the dark. You're going deeper into the dark. Now, so when you go into the dark, there is no light, and you're going to stumble because you can't see anything. So anything goes, as you know. So here we are going into the dark instead of the light. And if you're going to do that, then you're going to stumble. Now, Lord, you're trying to help them understand. I am. I'm giving them a simple illustration that they would realize in some sense. I'm going to help them with a natural, simple thing to get them to see another thing. And in the process, therefore, our Lord, what are you doing? A, do you understand, disciples? I'm going to speak to you as the disciples, as you were. And do you understand that the Lord Jesus Christ must fulfill and finish God's will in God's time? Do you understand that? It's an absolute. That's why Israel couldn't disappear, because Israel has to exist, because the Lord is born in the tribe, in the tribe of, out of the tribe of Judah is going to come Mary, etc., etc. So you've got to have. In order for the Lord Jesus Christ to be born in Bethlehem of Judea, you have to have Israel. You have to have Judah. And God, it keeps coming. How come Israel keeps existing? Because God has a wonderful plan for it. Now, so therefore, I don't have time. If you looked at Matthew chapter 16 and 21, the Lord Jesus said very clearly to his disciples, do you understand? I must go to Jerusalem, suffer, be buried, and rise again. Do you understand? I must go there. M-U-S-T, compulsion, a little verb. Have to happen, must happen. Now, in the light of that, you must go. The Lord Jesus said to his disciples, are there not 12 hours in a day? All right, go back with me over, if you would, to the Gospel of John and chapter 2. The Gospel of John and chapter 2. And you would recall chapter 2, picking up, if I can, in verse 4. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is N-O-T, not yet come. Mine hour is not yet come. Chapter 7. You're going to say it again. Uh-huh. You understand, my hour isn't come yet. Chapter 7. And in chapter 7, picking up if I can, again, you're going to say it again. I did. I kept telling him. Chapter 7, verse 30. Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him. Why not? Because his hour was not yet come. You can't get me. It's not my hour. It's not my hour. Chapter 8. John chapter 8. And in verse 20. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him. Why not? For his hour was not yet come. Not yet come. Not yet. All right, we'll have to go past 11. Go back to chapter 12. Chapter 12. And verse 23. Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. It wasn't the hour, it wasn't the hour, it wasn't the time, it wasn't the time, it wasn't the hour, but it is now. You couldn't touch me. I must fulfill the will of God. I must do it. No matter what anyone says, thinks, wants, it must be done. It must be complete. Now, going into the upper room, verse 27. Now my soul troubleth, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. The reason I'm here is it's the hour. It's the hour. It's the time. Verse 13, chapter 13. Chapter 13, verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. So, it's this hour. It says, no, chapter 17. Chapter 17. Verse 1, his prayer before the going out into the Garden of Gethsemane and then to the trial and prison. Trial and crucifixion. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. So God, are there not 12 hours in a day? And the night comes when you can't, you know, in the night, you can't work. You can only work in the light. When night comes, you can't do that. No. Do you understand? God is light, and God has a wonderful plan and purpose. And the wonderful plan and purpose is executed in the light. God has, it's His light, His plan, His journey, His will, and I'm going all the way. You can't do anything to me. I must fulfill and finish till I go to the cross. It is absolutely essential. Do you understand? No one in the world can stop me getting there, ever. It is the will of God, and there are 12 hours in the day, and I'm using all the hours He's given me in the light to go forward. Night's there, and the people live in darkness. They love darkness rather than light, and they live in it. But they could come to know God as their Savior and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and walk in the light. But they don't. They live in the dark. Well, what about believers? We live in the light. We are children of light. Therefore, God, here you are, chapter 9, John chapter 9. John chapter 9, picking up some help. In verse 4, 9 and verse 4, remember the blind man. Verse 3, I'll read verse 3. 9:3, Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest, clear, open, public, in him. Now I must work the works of him that sent me, while it is day, 12 hours in a day. The night cometh when no man can work. Verse 5, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And God, what are you doing? I'm walking in the light. Do you guys understand? Crossing the Jordan, you're worried about them catching me and killing me, aren't you? They were, and they shook their head. And, we are. We don't want to cross. It's bad. Hold it. Do you understand? As long as it's day, and as long as I'm in the 12 hours, God's will for my life, no one in forever is going to touch that. Do you understand? They have tried to kill me for how long? They couldn't touch me until it's my hour. And then they can. But not until then. Not until then. Do you understand that? Peter, James, John, we're going to cross. And I want all those fears and frustrations that you got about living and dying and people and crime and terrorists and airplane bombs and everything else, whatever. I don't want you governed by that. You live in that kind of world. I don't want you caught up in that, trying to make each day with fear and trembling. If I didn't take my pill, what's going to happen? If I don't eat my Cheerios, what's going to happen? If I don't run 35 miles in 10 minutes, what's going to happen? What's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to me? Wow, all over the place. Back over to John chapter 11. Are there not 12 hours in the day? Absolutely. Let us go. Let us go over. And understanding that it's what it is, 12 hours, and in the daytime, over if you would please, to add to this, go into your Old Testament for a moment, over to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes and chapter 3, as you would recall. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And you will note, chapter 3, verse 1. To everything there is a season. Remember that Ecclesiastes is looking at planet Earth, our earthly life environment. In every aspect, God gives it to Solomon to have to try everything in his humanity on earth, from riches to happiness to any. Try it, he had it. And why did God do that? Because Solomon needed to be the example for us to understand that if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul, what on earth do you have? Now, so here's Ecclesiastes, looking at earth. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born, and a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to be born, and there's a time to die. That's right, a time to be born and a time to die. No question, you guys have already answered the first part. You've been born. Most of you haven't answered the second part. You die. So you're all waiting. You already got the first part. Clock's ticking. You're waiting for the second part. That's the way it is. Now, Ecclesiastes chapter 8. And you recall our study of Ecclesiastes, study of it. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, may I pick up, please, if I can, in verse 6. Because to every purpose there is time and judgment. Therefore, the misery of man is great upon him, because they have to keep living, and the easy, the hard, the much, the little, and when it's easy, when it's good, then becomes bad. Easy becomes hard. Much becomes little. So you go down the journey corridor, I feel good, and then I don't feel good. Verse 7, for he knoweth not that which shall be. We don't know, you can't know, we don't know the future. For who can tell him when it shall be? Can anyone tell me how it's going to go? Well, no. No one knows. We don't know. We don't know about anything. What we do know, what we think we know, and then what we have to learn. Verse 8. There is no man that hath power, the word rule, power. There is no man that hath power, rule over his spirit, to retain the spirit. In other words, let's say you live 10 minutes longer than God would have you. How's that? Who's going to pull that off? Huh? No one's going to pull that off. No. There is no man that hath power, rule over his spirit, to retain the spirit, neither hath he power, rule in the day of the day of death. There is no discharge, there's no relief in that war. There's no way. We're in the body, easy, hard, much, little. Neither shall wickedness deliver those that are delivered, are given to it. Walking in darkness, evil, wickedness, you aren't going to make it. You're going to stumble. And if you think you're going to live there in the dark, we can live in the dark and love darkness and the world system and all it does and doesn't do, and it's all going to come out all right. No, it isn't. And everyone that's anything knows it isn't going to come out all right. Wow. So now, having said that little bit, over to on your way, Psalm 103. In Psalm 103, reminding us, going directly, if I can, to verse 11. For as the heaven is high above the earth, 103:11. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Why? God, what is it? Because you understand what we are like and what we are. Think of Sunday school. Verse 16. Verse 15. For as for man, his days are as grass, as the flower of the field, so he flourisheth. As for the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. F-E-A-R, and the right is righteousness unto children's children. God, do you know us? I do. What are you trying to tell me? I know about the grass. I made it. And the flowers, and they all fade, and they all go. And you're made of the dust of the earth, and because of sin, you're going to go back to the dust. That's where it's going to go. And you're in the dark. I've come to bring you into the light, into the wonderful light, to be able to walk in the light. As he is in the light. So be able to live our life in a wonderful, wonderful way. So God, here we are looking. And God, and over if you would, in the light of, we're time to be born, time to die. We're only as grass, as the flower. And there's no question that we can prolong, that we have control, power, rule over our death. What do we have rule over? What? Very little, very limited. Psalm 103. Over if you would, Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, picking up if I can. You will know, please. Verse 17. 4 and 17. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth, from now on, walk not, N-O-T, as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, in darkness, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Do you understand? They don't have. They're going, and who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. So, what have we done? Verse 20, but you have not so learned Christ. So, God, you didn't have us to walk in the dark. You save us to walk in the light. That's right. You have a wonderful, wonderful plan for it all. Chapter 1, in the light of understanding. Chapter 1, verse 18. Remember, the understanding is darkened, verse 4, chapter 4, verse 18. But for the believing heart, we don't want to retreat backwards. Verse 18. For the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Do you understand? You're supposed to have a light. You walk in the light as he is in the light. Do you understand that? You're supposed to walk in the light. And when you walk in the light, you're able to see anything that's in the way so you don't stumble. And thus, in God's time, in God's place, our time, we live in this body. We live in an earthen body, a body of this death. We live in it. We house in this body of death the Lord Jesus Christ. God is light, and him is light. And 2 Corinthians for all of us. 2 Corinthians, so when I receive him, reminding us, so I have it, chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, and in chapter 4, verse 6, I should say. Remember, I'll read verse 5, so you see it, we preach not ourselves, no, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And yourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts. What for? To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Where are we going to have that? In the face of Jesus Christ. So God, you're going to go and remember, verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. They don't want to receive the Lord as their Savior. Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and God is light, and you ought to walk in the light. And when you walk in the light, it's daytime. And when you're walking in the light in daytime, then you don't have to, there's all kinds of things to stumble over, everything to happen. There's no question about that. No question. But it's quite different, because in the light, what are we going to do? If we're going to say, Lord, what did you say? Did you say you were too busy, Lord? No, you didn't say that. You didn't say you were too busy. You were busy, but you didn't say too busy. Did you panic about getting across the Red Sea? Did you panic getting across the Sea of Galilee in the storm? Did you panic? No. Do you have a lot of time to waste? No, I don't. Do you have enough time? I do. I have enough time in the light, in the 12 hours, to fulfill all of God's will for my life. And as long as it's day, and I'm walking in the will of God, it must be finished. Period. And no one and nothing can take it from you. Do you understand? There are 12 hours. Use them. Use them. You're still here. Long before being angry, long suffering. Long before being angry, God. And we tend to waste time. We flounder time. We don't realize, God, you got a wonderful... Over. Put it together. Over, if you would please. Over in Ephesians. Back over there. In Ephesians, picking up, please, in verse, chapter 4, verse 1. I therefore, 4:1 Ephesians, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy, makes the scale balance, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Now that isn't your advocation. Your advocation is to make a buck to pay the rent. You changed. When you got saved, God gave you a new vocation. You have the old advocation in this system, but your new vocation is to walk in newness of life. You have a wonderful, wonderful purpose, rhyme and reason, to get out of bed, to go to bed, to live through depression, disappointment, discouragement, all the other words, and live through them. That's right. You've got to live through them. No matter what, walking in the light, God, oh God, I could die. And I realize that. At any moment I could die. And I lay in bed and ask God, don't do that, really. I'd lay there, and I realize I could never get up in the morning. I know that. Do you know that? I have no problem with that. No problem. But I can't die any sooner. I already went through a little exercise, you know. Already went through it. I can't die any sooner than God's ready. That's the way it is. In the light, in the will of God, it must be. Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, what on earth for, which God hath before ordained, that we should walk in them. Walk in them. That's right. Walk in the light as he is in the light. God, you're going to fill everything. You say, well, what am I? No, I'm a vessel. I'm a vessel housing the living and only God in the person of Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I'm going down the corridor of time. I'm going down there. And in the process, I'm going to have everything outworked. I'm going to have enough time for whatever. Think of all the things. And you do that, I have to do that. I think of all the things I have to try to do and be doing. And then I have to say, well, can I see this? Can I do that? And there's sometimes many crises, my own mother even, before she passed on. I had a board meeting. And I went to the board meeting. Board meeting was first. First. All kinds of things in my life. I put them first. Always first. Always first. Always God first. Always God. Never second. That's the way it is. I was there one time, board meeting, and someone came in and said, Jeanette had to go to the hospital. Where are you, Jeanette? Somewhere. Remember? You had to go to the hospital. I said, where is she? She's in the hospital. I said, well, she's better off than with me. I mean, she's in the hospital. She's sick. Isn't that what they're supposed to do in a hospital? Take care of you. So we finished the board meeting, and then I trotted over to see what the trouble was. You see, why not? Why not? Because God's first. You say, that's no, it isn't. Wrong. I got a long life, my friend, that God has been, when he's first, and I'm still hanging around. And I do what I do. I don't ask me how I know how I do it. But I do it. In the light. Do you understand? That's what you have. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. You have a one in the light, not in the dark, not trying to live in the carnal, fleshly. Like, no, you want to enjoy God's wonderful will for your life. And a wonderful will in a most wonderful way. And thus, dear friends, so you can see Ephesians chapter 2, if you're still there. Ephesians 2, if I may, in verse 5. When you were dead in sins, that's us, hath he quickened us together, and with Christ, by grace are you saved. Aha! And hath raised us up together, and made us sit, we are sitting, together, in heavenly places in Christ. We haven't got there yet, but we're headed there. Are we going to get there early? No. Are you going to get there late? No. Are you going to get there on time? Yes. 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 And thus, verse 7, exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. So God, what are we demonstrating now? By grace are you saved, as the next verse. We're looking to God to demonstrate the grace of God in our life. And it isn't because of anything about us. It's nothing to do with us. It's everything to do with God and God's wonderful plan and purpose. And you give him some credit. You give him some excitement, some kind of energy. God, you're a wonderful God. And you keep and do. Remarkable. And you do it. Wow. Wow. And we're to enjoy that. We're to enjoy that in the thick and thin, in the much, the little. We're to enjoy it in a most wonderful way. Is there time enough? There is. And for all of us, for all the world, God is long-suffering before being angry. In the days of Noah, how many days did they have? 120 years. 120 years. We have no record of them all dying. They lived 120. They already were told there's a time limit. There's a time to be born and a time to die. Now, if you're going to live in the dark, you're going to pay for that. I'm long before being angry. I want you to be saved. You could have been saved when you were 6 years old. You could be saved when you're 16 years old. You could be saved when you're 70 years old. But you need to get saved. And you understand, because eternity is a long time. It's a long time. Walk in the light. Are there not 12 hours in the day, he said? I'm going to finish. And God is my helper. And God is going to work it out. Do you understand? There's no one going to touch me. No one's going to put a nail in my hand until I put my hand out to do so. Do you understand? So I want you to trust me like that. To finish your life. Trusting me. So not getting caught up in fears and trying to serve everybody. You can't serve everybody. You can't serve the world and family. You've got to serve God. You can't serve God and mammon. You can't do both. God, I'm going to have to choose. I choose to serve you first, second, third, fourth, fifth, serve you. Now, the rest of it will all work out, and it does. Because God cares more about everyone around you and every your job, your work, your home, your health, your wealth. God cares about all that. You and I have no idea how to care about it. But God does, and He knows the seriousness and relevance of all of it. So God, You have to get us where we're going. And God, we're already headed there, so God, we can't get there any sooner than You say, and God, there's no way on earth that we're going to figure it out. And like Larry would say in those last hours, you know, I really don't know why God is waiting to be in this body. Why do I have to stay in this body? Why do I have to? And I said, well, until God's finished with it. God, here we are. What a wonderful thing it is. Are there not 12 hours in the day? I tried to help you guys understand. Nothing's going to happen in the light until the hours are finished. That's the way it is. You understand? And only believers enjoy that. Our Father and God, we thank You for Your grace and kindness, and God, just help us. We stumble through all this. So God, You need to help us in every way, and we'll thank You very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. And perhaps we could